Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
This legislation strikes down virtually every voter integrity law adopted at the state level.
Remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar.
Right now, I'm kind of a fan of Liz Cheney.
We should be very careful to investigate where this virus came from.
I do not have any accounting of what the Chinese may have done.
The American people just lost patience with us.
They can text their zip code to
30330. Text Joe.
Well, it's not the first time that's happened.
There you go. Hey, good morning to you. It's a Wednesday. Boy, I tell you, we've still got boil orders out in downtown St. Louis. We can't even have any coffee this morning. We're afraid to drink the coffee down here.
No, I bought a water. I think the coffee's probably fine because of the heat.
I was going to say, I think you're... I mean, I'm drinking it. I'm alive so far.
It's boiled. Denise is like, what are you talking about? We should have drank the coffee.
I'm weirded out by it, but I think it's actually fine.
Yeah. I'm not overly
concerned. You'll be
concerned.
Okay. That's all right, Denise. We hope you're all right. Anyway, I'm coming in this morning and I see 12th Street blocked off, and I'm thinking... They don't still have the streets blocked because of that water main break yesterday, but they don't. A car hit a light pole out here, Sue Thomas tells me, and knocked the light pole over at Olive and 12th. So they've got the streets blocked off still. Whoops. Did you see that video yesterday, that water in the garage? There was water up to the license plate on cars in one of the parking garages down here around Lucas and 13th or something like
that. Yeah, I saw some screen grabs. I didn't see a video, though.
What a mess. I've only ever seen anything like that one time in my career, like a water main break that bad. And it was in South Carolina, and it was like a 20-inch water main that came down from the top of a mountain where there was a reservoir. Mm-hmm. And it came to a 90-degree curve, and that water main broke right at that curve. And it put out a jet of water that looked like something out of Yellowstone National Park. And the problem was, it was at just the right angle that the water directly landed on a house, tore all of the shingles off the house, tore a hole in the side of it, and basically filled the house up with water. I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
It was a mess. The guy opened the door. The guy opened the door, and some of his furniture floated out the front door. It was something to watch. Anyway, I digress. Good to have you with us this morning. What a busy day yesterday after we left.
Mm-hmm.
The Missouri legislature was in session till 1 a.m. this morning, and you're not going to be happy with what they did, with what they pulled off. Our leaders in Jeff City managed to get prescription drug monitoring passed last night, something that has been a bone in the craw of conservatives for years, and they managed to get this thing through last night. And on top of that, if you heard Denise's news, a gas tax increase without you getting to vote on it. That's the maddening part. I thought the Hancock Amendment would have kicked in, and particularly after voters rejected this idea 3 years ago, that they would have put it to a vote again. Oh, no. No. Your gas taxes will, if the governor signs it, assuming he will, said that he would, your gas taxes on top of the $2.80 a gallon I paid this morning on the way to work are going to go up another 12.5 cents a gallon to 29 cents on every gallon of gasoline that you buy in the state of Missouri. You can still save a little bit of money, I'm assuming, if you drive over from Illinois, because their gas tax is like 50 cents a gallon over there. But regardless, the voters, I thought the voters spoke pretty clearly that they didn't want that. I assume this would go to a vote again. It will not. The target of a lot of the ire this morning is on Senator Dave Schatz, who's the pro tem leader in the Senate. And he's going to join us this morning at about 7:15, and we're going to talk over a couple of these issues. I've been a fan of the Second Amendment Protection Act. According to Jared Taylor and some other state representatives in Jeff City, they were basically told, you will either pass the gas tax or SAPA will never get a vote before the end of the session in 2 days. So there was a lot of chess playing going on in Jeff City last night. We'll talk with Dave Schatz about that. We've got Missouri's Attorney General Eric Schmidt on a little later this morning. We're going to talk about the 1619 Project and critical race theory a little later. So we got a lot to get to. It's going to be a big show. And on top of all of that, we've got the turncoat Liz Cheney, who took to the floor of the United States House last night. In case you missed this, she's not going to go down without a fight, and she's going down continuing to spread the big lie that the president directly caused whatever happened on January 6th, even though we all know that those plans were made weeks before the people broke into the Capitol building, who should never have been in there, and the police knew it was coming and did nothing about it. But let the people listen to her one last time. Cut three, please.
A former president who provoked a violent attack on this Capitol in an effort to steal the election has resumed his aggressive effort to convince Americans that the election was stolen from him. He risks inciting further violence. Millions of Americans have been misled by the former president. They have heard only his words, but not the truth, as he continues to undermine our democratic process, sowing seeds of doubt about whether democracy really works at all. I am a conservative Republican, and the most conservative of conservative principles is reverence for the rule of law.
You buy in the fact that Liz Cheney is a conservative Republican. We're going to kick this around this morning, coming up here in just a few minutes. 314-241-9797.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
My prayers are with the people in Israel this morning. What a travesty of justice that's going on in Israel. Let me read something for you that was on Twitter this morning. The bombing of Tel Aviv and the oil pipeline facility between Ashkelon and Eilat, God is great and glory to God alone. Just let that soak in for a moment. That is a tweet from the leader of Hamas, who has said Israel has no right to exist and should be wiped off the map. That guy still has a Twitter account, but Donald Trump does not. I want to let that soak in for a minute when you think about the conversation I had yesterday with Josh Hawley about big tech and the influence they're exerting over Americans and over free speech. It's sickening to see what's going on there. We'll continue to talk about that this morning. Right now, though, I would like you to get to cut number 8 because I'm about to get on the soapbox.
It seemed that fact-based truth and honesty seem to be the enemy of many of these Republican politicians. And Liz Cheney stands up for the truth. And that's got her a lot of heat. She may lose her position in the party. She may even lose her career as a politician. But that is something to be admired, standing up for the truth. That's something I know her father wouldn't have done. So right now, I'm kind of a fan of Liz Cheney.
Now, Mark Cox, Soapbox.
Boy, I know I've always wanted O.J. Simpson's endorsement. Good Lord. Lynn Cheney's daughter, by the way, gave her farewell speech on the floor of the House last night. Did you hear it? Oh, it was heart-wrenching. You know what? Instead of lecturing me about Ronald Reagan, she should just go ahead and change her last name to Kinzinger and join those Lincoln Republicans. How about that? Listen, Liz Cheney is entitled to her own opinion. She is not, O.J., entitled to her own facts. I was stunned to hear the leader of the Republican conference stand up on the floor and repeat Democrat talking points about court decisions and the rule of law and all that garbage we hear out of the mouths of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren. The big lie about January 6th, that it was some sort of an attempted insurrection to take control of the United States government. That's the big lie. It was nothing of the sort. Nobody was armed. The only people that died that day were Trump supporters. It should never have happened. It only happened because of a few bad actors who got mixed in with the crowd of patriots who were there to listen to the farewell speech of their president. Donald Trump played no more role in that riot inside of the Capitol than Joe Biden did in his own election campaign. Here's what Liz Cheney doesn't seem to get. The greatest threat to America right now is the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. Where do you stand? Are you a Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Jack Danforth, little R Republican? Or are you a Donald Trump, Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul Republican? Because it's time to choose. There's a lot of debate in Washington right now. And as you heard from Liz Cheney, she thinks Donald Trump does not represent you. Now, when I hear her say that, I think she's ignoring the 74 million Americans who voted for him. It's been 30 years since Ronald Reagan left office. Republican leaders have consistently let us down in that period of time. Now, what do I mean by that? Hey, George W. Bush was right there in the middle of that. Point made. What I mean is that the establishment leaders of the Republican Party, the Bushes, the McCains, the Cheneys, the Romneys, have sold us out to special interests. They failed us at just about every opportunity. Here's some questions if you disagree with that. Where's the balanced budget? That's been a plank of the Republican Party since Ronald Reagan. Republicans have had opportunities to do that over the years. They've never done it. Why did it take Donald Trump to try to solve the southern border problem? Republicans had the House and the White House many times and the Senate. Never did it. Why do we spend a dollar of U.S. taxpayer dollars on abortions overseas? Because Liz Cheney Republicans don't have a backbone when they have power. They go along to get along. That's what put us in this situation today. But here's what you need to know. Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and Mitt Romney are blind to all of that. Bipartisanship is a four-letter word in my vocabulary. Why are we stuck with Obamacare 10 years later? Because when Democrats have power, they use it. They vote as a block. They achieve their goals. You know, when Trump rode down that elevator 5 years ago, he said enough. People listened. They elected him. He did as much as he could do in the face of a constant opposition and lawsuits and everything that the Democrats could throw at him. The left, the establishment media, they hated him for it. They still hate him for it, which is why suddenly, for the first time in their lives, they are in love with somebody named Cheney. Maybe they can go hunting with her dad. My point here isn't complicated, folks. There's no question as to who runs the Republican Party right now. Americans have seen the light. They don't want to go back to the squishy bend over and take it Republican Party. The Democrats are loving this struggle. While Nero was fiddling, they used the threat of a pandemic to alter the outcome of a presidential election. Enough, Liz Cheney. We don't want you leading the party anymore. And maybe when you're primaried and unemployed in 2 years or hired by some defense contractor, you'll finally get it. There is no going back.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Yeah, glad you're back with us here. We are talking 2A Tuesday. Lots to talk about. Did you hear about that shooting up in New York in Times Square? I mean, clearly another one of these cases where the Democrats are going to write it off as the media will report it as a mass shooting. And we know what it was. It was one idiot who was mad at his brother trying to shoot him, and he missed his brother and hit two other people, two innocent bystanders. It's crazy. Cam Edwards, our guest this morning, host of BearingArms.com, and great to have you on again. Cam, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that shooting in Times Square didn't take long for Mayor de Blasio and one of the New York senators to try to blame the shooting on the gun industry.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of the standard response by Democrat politicians, right? Don't talk about the actual offender, talk about the inanimate object. Mayor de Blasio talked about the flood of illegal guns coming into New York City, as opposed to, you know, this guy who was known to law enforcement, who apparently had been involved in the criminal justice system in New York previously, but had never really suffered any severe consequences for his previous actions. And that, I think, is really, you know, the key here, Mark. Shootings are up significantly in New York City, about 83% compared to this time last year. Gun sales aren't up in New York City because there are very few gun stores in New York City. It is still just as hard to be legally licensed to own a firearm in New York City as it ever was. What we're seeing here is a failure of the criminal justice system to deal with violent criminals in New York. And we've got politicians who are trying to blame legal, responsible gun owners for their crimes.
Cam, once again, in Indianapolis with the shooting there at the FedEx facility, and in Maryland, I love that you point this out on BearingArms.com, both states that have red flag laws haven't enforced them clearly. There have been incidents now in both of those states where an individual who was known to walk through the neighborhood, apparently threatening people, who's well known to law enforcement, who should have been in the system if indeed these red flag laws work, and it didn't happen. A failure in Maryland, right?
Absolutely, and we saw this in Colorado as well. You know, but unfortunately, look, red flag laws, Mark, these are red herring laws, really, because they don't address the actual issue. A red flag law basically allows police to go to a judge and say, look, we believe that Cam maybe a dangerous person. He might be dangerous to himself or to others. If a judge says, yeah, you know, I think there's a reasonable belief that Cam might be a danger to himself or others, well, you could go and take Cam's guns. But you're going to leave Cam alone, right? You're going to leave him with his knives, with his car keys, with his matches, with his gasoline. You're not going to make sure that Cam gets any sort of mental health treatment. You're just going to take his guns and think that the problem is resolved. Mark, this doesn't fix anything. What good does it do to take guns away from somebody who's supposedly dangerous, but you don't actually deal with the dangerous individual? We have a mental health crisis in this country, and politicians can ignore that mental health crisis as long as they can say, look, we're doing something, and there's something are red flag laws. But they don't work to make us any safer. They don't work to deal with truly dangerous individuals. They slap a Band-Aid on the problem at the expense of our civil rights. And then you've got anti-gun politicians saying, look, we did something. Well, do better. Do something effective. Do something that works.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that completely. You know, I'm watching this situation. I'm an observer of the media and how they report on things, primarily because we all know who they ultimately work for. But I worked in the industry for a long time, Cam. And it was my goal in the mornings before I would read a piece of news copy, if it was on a new study that came out or, you know, on let's say on healthcare. And I would find producers at my TV station that would take things straight off the PR wire from Robert Woods Johnson Foundation that wanted nationwide healthcare. And they would produce a poll that said most Americans want government health care, and my producers would run it as fact and not never tell anybody where it was coming from. Now you see the same thing when they report on shootings. Here's an NPR story saying on average there's been 10 mass shootings in the U.S. every week this year. And they get that from the gun violence group, which produces its own statistics and has its own point of view on gun restrictions in this country. The mainstream media is absolutely guilty of brainwashing the public about this story.
Oh, absolutely right. And, you know, the Gun Violence Archive, as you mentioned, I mean, they define mass shootings as broadly as they possibly can. Just like they define school shootings as broadly as possible. If a gang member shoots another gang member at midnight in a school parking lot, that counts as a school shooting in the Gun Violence Archive, which tells us absolutely nothing. You know, what we do know, Mark, is that violent crime is up around the country. It started going up in 2020. It has continued in many cities in 2021. We know that that's a fact. But the idea that, well, it's just because gun sales went up last year is absolutely asinine. We saw the closure of the criminal justice system. There are cities that are still not doing jury trials right now for criminal cases. We saw, you know, thousands of individuals let loose from jails and prisons last year. And we've seen, I think, really this move within the, let's say, the criminal justice reform movement to really go light on violent criminals. In fact, in New York City, going back to New York, you've got prosecutors who are actually dropping gun cases now. So it's illegal for you to carry a gun without a license in New York City. But if somebody gets arrested, oftentimes prosecutors are now diverting those individuals into other programs are simply dropping the cases outright. So what is the point? On the one hand, you've got people say we need more gun control laws, and yet they're not enforcing the laws that are currently on the books. And they seem way more interested, frankly, in imposing new restrictions on you and I and other responsible gun owners than in actually targeting the individuals who are committing these acts of violence.
Well, thanks for all you do to keep people informed on these issues. Cam Edwards, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mark.
Yep, we'll be listening. BearingArms.com, host of NRA News, Cam and Company, and 40 Acres and a Fool's his podcast, at Cam Edwards on Twitter.
The duplicity is outrageous, and I say this often, but we don't have a fight between Republicans and Democrats anymore. We have a fight between Washington, D.C. and the rest of America. Just take this pipeline, Sean. That was an intelligence failure by the Biden administration. A total intelligence failure that is now impacting millions of people in the pocketbook. They've got to get it together. They've got to be held to account by the Washington media. There should be no more double standards. The American people see it.
Yeah, That was Rick Grenell, in case you were wondering. Of course, former intelligence director under President Trump, pointing out this hacking situation with the pipeline and how weak the response has been to it so far. In the meantime, I'm looking at these people. People are sending out pictures on social media of people taking 10 and 15 and 20 gasoline storage cans and filling them up along with their car so they can hoard gasoline. And some gas stations have had to stop allowing people to fill those up. They're like, no, you can put gas in your car. You can't put it in a second container just to keep things moving. Am I missing something? I thought pipelines were bad. The first thing Joe Biden did when he got in office was cancel the Keystone Pipeline, because pipelines can't be good, because it's got to be safer to truck oil around in, I don't know, 80,000 gallon metal containers hooked on the back of fuel burning tractor trailers up and down the highways. That's got to be better, I'm assuming, than a pipeline. So you see, there are pipelines. If you could ever look at a map of all the pipelines in the United States, all of them buried, all of them causing nobody any problems anywhere ever. Rarely have they caused problems, and yet here we are with a technical malfunction that shut down a pipeline that apparently, little did we know, provides gasoline to every state up the Eastern Seaboard. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say, I've heard people this morning on newscast saying, don't hoard. We're trying to encourage people not to panic. If this was happening in St. Louis, would you not be out looking for a tank of gas because you don't know where the next one's going to come from? It's the same reason people hoarded toilet paper. It's the same reason you'd hoard meat if somebody told you tomorrow that 15 meat factories shut down. You might not be able to get meat again in a week. People would go to the grocery store today in an hour, and they'd clean out everything in the Schnucks meat mm-hmm. department. Mm-hmm. It's human nature.
It is.
I don't know how you prevent it.
The stopping of the filling of the little gas tanks helps a little bit. I mean, it's got to be your car. Limiting. Okay. I mean, some sort of limitation. So mm-hmm. now someone's not standing there for an hour filling up every can that they can scrounge up and bring with them. I mean, that's going to lead to some issues between customers at the gas stations if someone's sitting there filling up every can they've got.
There's already been price gouging. There were reports of one station that raised its gas to $6 a gallon. Now, their argument was, we did it so people wouldn't buy as much, so that maybe they wouldn't fill their car up if it was $6 a gallon. But at the end of the day, there's usually a pretty slim profit margin. You know, over the years, we've gone and done stories when I was working at Channel 4 with gas station owners about why gas is 3 cents a gallon more at this station than it is over here. And, you know, basically, most of these owners will tell you that in many cases, gas is almost a loss leader for them. Not everywhere, and in most cases, they're only making a few pennies on a gallon of gas, which is why it fascinates me that the people in the state of Missouri thought it was a good idea to raise gas taxes. If you're just joining us this morning, your Missouri legislature voted yesterday. The House, the Senate had already passed the gas tax increase. They sent it to the House. The House passed the gas tax increase with the votes of a lot of Republicans. And it's not even going to go on the ballot. It's just going to go up 12.5 cents a gallon over about a 5-year period. Now, you can apply for a rebate. Would you go to that trouble? So when I owned,
I'm not used to keeping receipts. Like, that wouldn't even...
No.
I'm like, nope, no receipt.
No.
Nope.
Probably not. It's a hassle.
Yeah.
And I think it was just an excuse to ease the people's pain. When I owned a boat 10 years ago, there was a law that if you paid for gas for your boat, like if you filled it up at a gas station, you could apply for a partial rebate of the state road tax. I think I did it 1 year and got like $40 back. I mean, it was just
it's
amounted,
a lot of work for 40.
It was
bucks.
A lot of work to keep receipts for the whole summer to get $40 back. I just don't know that most Americans are going to do it. Who's it going to hit hardest? They say 30-40% of those receipts come from people traveling through Missouri. So what their argument is that people from other states are helping pay for our roads and highways. Well, to me, that means 60% of it is coming from Missourians, mm-hmm. many of whom don't make a lot of money to begin with. So our state gas tax will now be 29 cents a gallon when this thing's over with. We're not in Illinois range yet, but we went from just about the lowest gas tax in the country, I think Alaska's the lowest, to the middle of the pack somewhere with this thing. Now we're just awaiting the governor's signature. That passed yesterday, and prescription drug monitoring passed yesterday. What do you think about that? We're going to get to phone calls on this coming up a little later. And we've got Missouri Senator Dave Schatz joining us this morning about 7:15 to hopefully explain all of this and why this was pushed through in the Missouri legislature. How it was pushed through, maybe a better question. 314-241-9797. We'll talk about the 1619 project in the next hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.